insight, revelation found in the written word together as a church. We all behold Jesus, even as he sees us in himself. He is glorified. We are edified. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So I want to teach us on something I started somehow last week, but I think I will just take it further from where it took us last week. Titling, "This is War." Hallelujah. This is war. This is war. Now, you know, first of all, I want to make, in this teaching, I'm going to make some assumptions. Assumptions that you've listened to at least School of the Spirit, Series 1 and Series 2A and 2B. At least. You've listened to School of the Spirit, Series 1 and Series 2A and 2B. That's the assumption I'm going to make, that you've been in church to listen to those series, or you were around for those series. Hallelujah. And that will be at least. Glory to God. So this is war. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now let's pause for a while. In the beginning. Now, we need to understand, what is Moses writing here? Now, he used two key words that must not be lost on us. He says, heaven and earth. Glory to God. He used heaven and earth. Now, when he says heaven, we said heaven is used for the supernatural. Right? Heaven is used for the what? The supernatural. So heaven is the supernatural. It's the Greek, is the Hebrew word Shamayim. Shamayim. Where you have the Greek word Uranus. Hallelujah. It's used for the invisible. The Shamayim, the invisible. So you can say, God created the invisible and the visible world. Hallelujah. The heavens is the supernatural, the invisible. Now, Moses is writing God's plan. Hallelujah. When he used the word beginning, a 14 church, that the word beginning is not used for a start. We say a first start, no. Amen. The word beginning is used for when you have like a restart. Word of God, a restart, or what you call a new beginning. A new beginning. Rashid. So you have a new beginning. Now this is speaking to God's plan. Moses is writing about God's plan. What is God's plan? Heaven and earth. The supernatural and the natural in the same place. Hallelujah. What is God? What is Moses writing? God's plan. What is God's plan? The supernatural and the natural in the same place. That is God's plan to fill all the earth. Glory to God. Also, Moses is writing something else that you mustn't miss. He's writing heaven and earth to show you that the supernatural and the natural coexist. Amen. Not can coexist, the supernatural and the natural coexist. Amen. That means you can have the supernatural and the natural have a coexistence. So heaven from Bible, heaven from scripture is not used as a distance. Amen. Don't miss it. Heaven from scriptures is not used as a place. You know, some people think heaven is you start climbing one mountain. No. So you say heaven is when I mean one mountain, heaven is far away. Far away, far away. When someone dies, you can't start going, not start elevating to heaven. No. Heaven is not used like that in Bible. Amen. The way heaven is used in scriptures, heaven is used for the supernatural. And the heaven and the earth coexist. You know what I mean? They coexist. It means the earth and the heaven are in the same place. That is the natural and the supernatural. So remember, heaven is supernatural. Right? Invincible. What are you following me? I don't need you to miss you. I don't need you to miss what I'm saying. Heaven is what? Invincible. Right? So Moses is writing that the natural and the supernatural coexist. Now let me show you something. He also writes for you to see Jacob's vision in Genesis 28, verse 12. Let's get to Genesis 28, verse 12. Let's see Jacob's vision. Genesis 28. Are you there? Genesis 28, verse 12. Are you there? He says, and he grew, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top reached the heaven. Now take note of the words. Right? Where was the ladder? Set up where? On the earth. It says, and the top reached the heaven. Now, mark that somewhere. So that means another way heaven is used is for the sky. It's used as it's illustrated with the sky, the firmament. You also find that in Genesis, because Moses will now give a description of heaven with the firmament. Right? Hallelujah. The firmament. He calls it, which is the sky, calls it heaven. Amen. Genesis 1, so you can find that there. So he said the top reached the heavens. Now watch what he said. And behold, angels of God ascending and descending on it. Ascending and descending means they were going up and down. Right? Right? Where was the ladder set up? On the earth. So that means you have supernatural beings on the earth. So Moses is writing a coexistence of supernatural beings and the natural. Did you see that? Can you see that? That means to say, in this natural earth, there are supernatural beings in the natural earth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, the God of Isaac, the land where thou liest, I will give to thee and to thy seed. Hallelujah. Look at verse 17. On top of verse 16, he said, and Jacob walked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid, and said, how dreadful is this place? This is no other but the house of God. What does he call the house of God? Here. Hallelujah. So where does he call the house of God? The earth. And what? Where does he call the place again? The house of God and the what? Gate of heaven. So when you hear gate of heaven, where is the gate of heaven? Where is the gate of heaven? In the earth. So that means the earth. When you say gate of heaven, it means entrance. So that means what Moses is writing for you to see is that there is a coexistence between the natural and the supernatural. Hope you're hearing me. So that means the earth, when you hear heaven and earth, the earth is a supernatural earth. Or we can put it, the world is a supernatural world. It calls it the house of God. Hallelujah. The house of God. That is the word Beis El. Verse 19. He said, and he called the name of the place Bethel, which is the Hebrew word is Beis El. Beis means resting place. Hallelujah. That's God's plan. That means to say, the earth is God's resting place. Hallelujah. Remember, it's God's plan, right? To fill the whole earth. So that means the earth, this world, is a supernatural world. Say this world. Say this world is a supernatural world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he called, Jacob called the earth, Bethel, God's place, right? God's place, God's plan, God's purpose, God's pursuit. So the earth is God's purpose, God's pursuit to dwell in the earth. So it's God's plan. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Now don't miss what I've said. The earth is a supernatural earth. Right? Right? This world is a supernatural world. And it's very vital for us as a church. Glory to God. You must have a supernatural view of the earth. You must have a supernatural view of the earth. You must. You should. Hallelujah. You should have a supernatural view of the earth. Your view of the earth should be supernatural. Hallelujah. So that means it would just be foolish for a Christian to think the earth is just a normal place. You just do anything you want. No. No. The earth is not a supernatural earth. I mean, the earth is not a natural place, brother. Amen. You just view the earth like just a natural place where you can do anything. Why else natural? Nothing. Why is the people say nothing they stop? Nothing they stop. A lot of things are stopping that you don't know. Glory to God. Hallelujah. A lot of things are stopping everywhere. Because if you understand that the earth is a supernatural place, you won't say something. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So God's plan is to fill the earth. To make the whole earth a dwelling place. Look at Numbers 14. Numbers 14. Verse 20. He says, and the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Watch it. It says, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. All the earth. Hallelujah. All the earth. So, this is God's plan to fill all the earth. Can you see it? All the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Look at Psalm 72 quickly. What I have for you is just a short exhortation this week into next week. Psalm 72. Verses 19. It says, and blessed be his glorious name forever. It says, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayer of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. So that means in David's prayer, he declares God's plan for the earth. So that means it was known by every patriarch of scriptures that God's plan is to fill the whole earth. Hallelujah. Every patriarch of scripture knows that is God's plan. To fill the whole earth. Hope you're following me. So what is God's plan? To fill the whole earth. Genesis 1:28. To fill the whole earth. Genesis 1:28. And God blessed them. And God said, this is when God created man. So God blessed them and God said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Do you see that? Now when he says be fruitful and multiply, it's not referring to reproduction. Amen. I was speaking to one of my a close relative of mine some days back. And we just got on talking. It's been a long time we spoke. A long, long time. Close to 2 decades. So we got talking. That is about 20 years we've not spoken. So let's go talking and catching up on old times. Long time. So how far are you? Are you married? She responded, yes. Wow. How many kids? You wouldn't want to hear the amount of kids she told me she had. Amen. You wouldn't want to hear it. Glory to God. And I shouted. I'm like, what? Ignorance gone on one day. She had 10 children. I said, for who? For one man? 10? For one stomach? I said, blessed are thou among people. How can you have 10? You want to win trophy? Or you want to play for Premier League? Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because once you add yourself, you make it football team. Maybe you are goalkeeper, your husband will be the coach. Amen. Oh, when I'm the attacker, I couldn't win. All the amount. Amen. After all the amount, let's allow them. Because that thing they are shouting, we are at the top of the table. We'll end by December. It's a two in January. Maybe January, mid-January is the end. So, amen. Glory to God. So let's go ahead. So, like I was saying, amen. So when you hear the word fill the earth, replenish the earth. Now that's the word malah. It's the word for to refill. It's not reproduction of tree, it's not biology. It is actually to refill the earth with a specific kind. Now what is the kind? Genesis 1:26, let's make man in our image. And that is God's plan. So God's plan is for man to be in his image. Amen. Okay with me? For man to be in his image. Now that is speaking to Genesis 1:1, heaven and earth. So what is this kind, heaven and earth? Right? God dwells. So how will God dwell the whole earth? In man. Hope you are seeing it. How will God dwell the whole earth? Men. Now, everybody look up. Look up. Is that eternal life? Is that eternal life? Thank you. That means you've been following us from convention. Hallelujah. That is eternal life. I mean, contending for the supernatural, right? That is eternal life. Amen. Amen. That God will reign in all the earth. That's eternal life. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Okay. That's good. So how God fill the whole earth is by mankind. He will not fill the earth by stones. Amen. He will not come and dwell in. No. He will fill the whole earth, mankind. Right? So when he says replenish the earth, replenish my kind. Right? Man in the image of God, God and man in the same place, heaven and earth. Hope you are following me. Glory to God. Don't worry, I'll teach you. We'll get into this in detail soon as you see. I have some series of teachings to take us on. Right? The temple yesterday, today and forever. We'll look at it. Amen. I told you about it, right? Right? The temple yesterday, today and forever. Okay, if you are hearing it for the first time, watch out. Ting, 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 ting. Watch out for it. Amen. It's going to be a long series. It's a series that, when I mean long series, not a new series though. Like, you're not teaching yet. No. It's a teaching that will be long. It's not a series. Just a teaching that will be long. That we might later do some things with it in the future. Amen. Amen. So, the replenishing the earth is not, take note, the replenishing the earth is not biology is a spiritual birth. Don't forget that, right? Spiritual birth. So let's see what God did in Genesis 1:28. He said, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So we said, God gave man dominion, right? Gave man authority. God gave man dominion, one. God gave man what? Authority. You saw that, right? Right? Authority, dominion. Now, don't miss that at all. He gave man dominion, he gave man authority. Glory to God. Dominion, authority. And gave that to man that they will exercise it to replenish the earth. Now what is God's dominion and authority for? For the replenishing of the earth. Hallelujah. Look at Psalm 8 quickly. We're looking at something. Verses 1. He says, O Lord our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hath set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and suckling thou hast ordained strength, because of thy enemies, thou mayest kill the enemy and the avenger. So when I consider thy heavens, hallelujah. So when I consider thy heavens, say the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou had ordained. Now, I told you when you hear this, it's referring to supernatural beings. I've said that to you, right? Right? That, now, don't miss that at all. Amen. It says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? So you are now going to see why the power God has invested in the believer. Hallelujah. He said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? The son of man that thou visitest him. That thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Now a little lower than the angels is the flesh. Right? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. And hath crowned him with glory and honor. So crowning with glory and honor, that is what authority. I'll say that to you. That is what authority. So man has authority. The seed. Thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let's get quickly to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter. Rush with me quickly to Hebrews. Chapter 2. Hebrews 2 quickly. Hallelujah. Hebrews 2. Are you there? Verses 6. Let's read. It says, for one in a certain place testifies that what is saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou made him a little lower than the angels, thou crowned him with glory and honor, and they set him over the works of thy hand. Is that the same thing we read? Right? He said, thou hast put all things into subjection under his feet, for that he put all things into subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now, we see not yet all things put under him. Now this becomes the cross. of many discussions. Amen. He says, here's what the writer, he said, you have to understand what the writer of Hebrews is writing and what he's saying specifically. Glory to God. You must understand what he's saying. He said, he's reading from Psalms. When he said God puts all things under his feet, that is God's plan in Psalms, right? Remember I told you, that's God's plan, right? To put all things on his subjection under man. Which man? The man in his image, right? Now, the writer of Hebrews now said, we did not see all things put under him. So what did we see put under man? That's the question. What was not put under man? You hope you're with me. What was not put under man? What was it? Glory to God. What was it that we didn't see put under man? Now we'll get quickly to to Deuteronomy. Let's quickly get to Deuteronomy first. Deuteronomy chapter 2. Now I need your attention very well. Deuteronomy chapter 2. Are you there? Verses 8. I'll start from verse 7. He says, remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask their fathers and they will tell thee. And they will show thee. Their elders and they will tell thee. When he said the days of old, that's Genesis. We'll get to Genesis to see. He said, when the Most High divided the nations, their inheritance. When he separated the sons of Adam, he set bounds of the people according to the numbers of the children of God. Now I've discussed this. I taught this in School of the Spirit. Right? I taught this in School of the Spirit. But I'm going to say, talk about it a bit here so that you can always get to listen to it again. Hallelujah. So he said, when the Most High divided the nations, their inheritance, he separated the sons of Adam, he set bounds of the people according to the number of the children of God. Now, when you hear the word of Israel, it was not about Israel. Amen. I said that to you also. It's not Israel is referring to. Because every scholar of scripture knows he was talking about Genesis chapter 11. But Genesis chapter 10 and chapter 11. And Genesis 10 and Genesis 11 was speaking to how the nations were divided into different, were divided. And they were divided towards or into the hands of supernatural beings. Amen. Now, let's get to it. Now, he said, listen to it again. He says, set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of God. Now, I told you, angels are called sons of God, right? They are called, now, so this place was referring to angels. Now, take note, let's go back to that Psalm 8 again. We said, who did man have authority over? Supernatural beings. God put man over the works of his hand, right? So man also has authority over all of God's creation. Hope you're hearing me. Man also has authority over all of God's creation. Hope you're following me. Amen. Amen. So that's God's plan. All of God's creation was supposed to be under man. But in Genesis, we now discovered something else. That instead of man to exercise authority over supernatural beings, man began to serve angels. Man began to worship angels. Hope you're following me. Man began to worship angels. Look at Genesis quickly. Chapter 3. We saw this happen in the fall of Adam. In the sin of Eve and of Adam and Eve, we saw the serpent. Hallelujah. He deceived man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Genesis chapter 6. We saw the same thing. The sons of God saw the daughters of men and came to sleep with them. So that means there have been perversions. Man that was supposed to have authority over supernatural beings are now acting below them. Who did it? Is it God? No! Look at how Paul will call it in Romans chapter 1. Look at Paul in Romans 1. Let's see how Paul will explain it. So, I explained it across scriptures. I explained it in School of the Spirit, right? Very well. So you can listen to School of the Spirit series 3. In fact, I did that in series 2B too. Amen. But series 3, you actually have to deal with it. Amen. Amen. So you can listen to the message. I can't teach about 11 sections, 11 or 12 sections in one section. It's not possible. So I know I explained it. Hallelujah. But look at Romans 1. Let's just pick out some things there. Verses 18. Say, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against the ungodly and unrighteousness of men, who hold truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shown it unto them. For the visible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Rather, they were thankful. I mean, neither were they thankful, sorry, but became vain in their imaginations. Watch it. And in their foolish hearts, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the incorrupt, of the uncorruptible God into an image like to corruption man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Did you see that? That's graven image. Wherefore God also, this is that they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image. So that is serving idols. And idols is, you know, Paul also will tell the church at Corinth, he said, the sacrifices with the Gentile made, they made to devils. Amen. So you have to see. So idol worship is what? The worship of what? Supernatural beings. I told you that, right? Hallelujah. Now look at verse 24. It says, wherefore God also gave them up unto uncleanness. I mean, gave them up unto uncleanness thoughts. I mean, sorry. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart. Now when I say God gave them up, it means God did nothing to them. Amen. He allowed them, glory to God, to defile their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God to a lie, and worship and serve the Creator more than the Creator. That is supernatural being. Amen. So he said, God gave them up, God allowed them. Amen. Why? Remember what the psalmist said. The psalmist said, he made man a little lower than angels. Now what is a little lower? I said, he's no rank. A little lower is not position. A little lower is the flesh. He made man mortal. He made man, right? Mortal. Right? Frail. And he made supernatural beings are made spectacular. It's just like a bouncer. Today people see bouncers and they are saying, no! A bouncer is a professional person that has trained himself. He has six packs. Has 20 packs, huge, big. He has trained himself to do what? To be a bodyguard. To a who? To a man who doesn't have six packs. Amen? Okay, follow me. Have you seen? Have you seen? Even our president is not too tall. I didn't say short, but it's not too tall. You agree with me? Your president is not too tall. Eh? So I should be careful. First of all, we say, he's not too tall. Now, have you seen his bouncers? Have you seen the people that work with him? Have you seen how big they are? Clear the roof. Right? Right? Okay, no, let me go use the one I saw recently. Have you seen Davido's bouncer? Or there's one that they call Affiliation Covenant. What is it? Yeah, am I unrighteous? Why are you saying it with low tone? She's Daniel. Now, have you seen his bouncers? Amen? Have you seen, I was told one of his bouncers is very huge. Right? Now listen. Very huge guy. Have you seen the guy? Amen? So why is his bouncer like this and the person he's bouncing is like this? If the person that he was supposed to be his bodyguard has the same kind of body like him, he doesn't need a bodyguard. Does he? Will you need a bodyguard if you have Apple, you have six pack too, you are standing like Pastor Dixon, will you need a bodyguard? You won't need a bodyguard. Amen. But the Pastor Wisdom will need a bodyguard. Hallelujah. Will she need a bodyguard? Somewhere that has everywhere tight. Everywhere sheet. Why? Can I imagine Pastor Wisdom is now worshipping his bodyguard? Can that ever happen? Because you are paying it, right? Amen. You discover that the same bodyguard that will beat every other person up will get to him and be saying, Sorry, sir. Come on, just get out of my sight. And you see the bodyguard running away. Sorry, sir. Take your back, sir. Take it. Amen. So it will be a mismatch. You now come one day and ask Pastor or Pastor Wisdom telling his bodyguard like this, hey John, sir, you are the God of my life. Would that be possible? But that, you know, that is what man do when they begin to worship idols and supernatural beings. Because you think angels have spectacular appearance of fire. Right? You can now say, you will not be telling angels majesty. How is that possible? Are you following me? How is that even possible? Hope you are following me here. It's not supposed to happen. It's not supposed to happen. I know you follow me now. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, God gave man authority over supernatural beings, right? Right? Over all the works of his hands, let's put it that way, which is supernatural beings. But we now see that man began to do what? Serve supernatural beings. So, Paul now said God gave them up. Because it was so clear in Genesis 1 to Genesis 10. In Genesis 11, they now began to build. In Genesis 11, they now began to build a tower. Now, the Tower of Babel, I've always told you, is not a skyscraper. The Tower of Babel, the word tower, is where you have a ziggurat. A ziggurat is a place of worship, is a temple. Amen. So, they began to create, they were building a temple for the worship of supernatural beings. Okay, follow me. So, that was what they were building, not a skyscraper. When he says, who top may reach the heaven, Genesis 11, who top may reach the heaven, he's not saying it will be tall to touch heaven. I've told you heaven is a supernatural place. Invisible. Can you remember? Supernatural. Now when they say, who top may reach the heaven, they were referring towards a supernatural worship place for idols. Amen. So what they were building is like a shrine. They were building a shrine. Amen. They were building a shrine for the worship of idols. So, what then happened? Bible says God now gave them up. God gave them up means God just allowed them. So that means they were there. Now, when you now hear that their voices were scattered or their language was scattered, God gave them up. Hallelujah. God allowed them. So, they then began to serve supernatural beings. So God now divided, or when you say God divided to them, right, divided to the nation, it means God allowed them to have what they wanted. Amen. God allowed them to have what they wanted. So the man began to serve supernatural beings. Amen. Amen. Man began to do what? Worship supernatural beings. Now remember I told you to in the series. Now you don't mix it up. I told you to in the series that supernatural beings too have the right to reject the worship of man. Right? I showed you times when supernatural beings rejected the worship of man. So when a supernatural being accepts the worship of man, even if man is being stupid, the supernatural being shouldn't be stupid. Amen. So when supernatural beings man accept the worship of man, the supernatural beings have sinned. So that is why we have fallen angels also. Amen. So we said fallen angels too can also come from supernatural beings that accepted the worship of man. Because they are not supposed to accept the worship of man. So the moment they accept it, they have fallen. They have sinned. They have erred. Hope you're following me this morning. Hope you're following me this morning. Glory to God. Deuteronomy again. Deuteronomy quickly. Chapter 4. Deuteronomy 4. Verses 18. Okay. I'll talk about verses 15. It says, verse 15. It says, take ye therefore good heed to yourself. For ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spoke unto you in Horeb, out of the midst of the fire. Lest ye corrupt yourself and make you graven image. You see that? In the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, likeness of any beast that is on the earth, that is any, I mean, the likeness of any winged fowl that flies in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the water beneath the earth. And least, now, look at what they want them not to create, right? Right? Is this warning them about worshiping idols? Warning them about worshiping idols, and the worship of idols is the worship of spiritual beings. You agree with me? Verses 19. The least thou lift up thy eyes to heaven, supernatural, and when thou see the sun, moon, and the stars, even all the hosts of heaven, is that supernatural being, that thou should be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God has divided unto all other. Okay, he has divided the nation, giving them over to supernatural beings. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, man shouldn't worship them. But we saw it happen. So that means the nations were giving over to supernatural beings. Now, was it God that gave them or is it man? Is it God that gave them over or it was man's desire? Was it man's desire? Was it man's desire? Glory to God. It was man's desire. Glory to God. So man had what they wanted. Look at that Deuteronomy chapter 2 again. But let's see what God's plan. Let's see what God's plan. Deuteronomy chapter 2. He now says, I'll start from verse 8 again. So when the Most High divided the nations, their inheritance. When he separated the sons of Adam, he set bounds of the people according to the number of the children of God, right? For the Lord portioned his people, Jacob, with the lot of his inheritance. So, and this is very vital. So that means every other nation were given over to supernatural beings. Did you see that? But who was left? Who was not given over to supernatural beings? Israel. Why Israel? One said, no. Go back to Genesis 10 and Genesis 11. Genesis 10 and Genesis 11, Israel was not formed as a nation. Amen. Okay, I mean. So when that happened, Israel was not yet a nation. But what did God do? God called light out of darkness. Genesis 1:2. He called Abraham out of idol worship in Genesis 12. Hallelujah. Hope you are following that. Hallelujah. Rush quickly to Genesis. Let me show you that. So he called Abraham out of idol worship. That is light out of darkness, and that's what God does. Amen. Amen. Look at verse 12. He said, and the Lord said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country, out of thy kingdom, and from thy father's house to the land that I will show you. Mark the word land there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he called Abraham out. He called Abraham out of. He called Abraham out of idol worship. He called Abraham out of idol worship to serve him. Now, what the word land in Genesis 12, verse 1? So the land I will show you. Why? Now look up. What is God's plan? To fill the whole earth, right? Who did God give that plan to? To man. Right? But what did man do? We didn't see man have dominion, right? Man began to worship the so let's say now, so God called Abraham out, right? Watch it. To serve him. All the nations are in darkness. Abraham is out, right? That's how you have Israel. Glory to God. We have Israel. Israel is from Abraham, right? So we have Israel. So what is the role of Israel? The role of Israel is. What is the role of Israel? The role of Israel is to minister God's word, to reproduce, subdue the earth, and kill. Hallelujah. Hope you have seen the role of Israel. The whole nation is in darkness. But Israel has a role to making the nation what God to elevate. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So how will Israel do it? How will Israel do it? God is going to now use, listen to me, God is not going to use something that is obtainable in the world. God will, I say, accommodate their world. Hallelujah. God will accommodate things in their world. He's not, now God accommodating things is not God endorsing it. Hope you are with me. Amen. 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 The same way too, we can have our meetings, conventions streamed online, right? Is God accommodating it? But God is not endorsing. Endorsing means God is not saying this is the way it should be. Hallelujah. The way it should be is that people should be gathered here. But because there's no technology, we can make people who are not even in Nigeria or even in Lagos, right, connect to the meeting is acceptable for them. Hold on, amen. So God will accommodate their world. And what is God going to do in accommodating their world? In their world, right? Land. He's used, listen to me, land is used for territorial power. Right? Land is used for territorial power. Land is priceless in their world. Now I need to follow me now. Now when God said to Abraham, to the land that I will show you, you know the land he will show him. Though he journeyed to Canaan, and then the children of Israel started going back to Canaan. You know that Canaan was not the real land. Hope you know that. The land I will show you to Abraham was not the physical land. You should know that. Hope you know that. Hebrew, rather of Hebrew. He said by faith. Right? He journeyed to the land whose builder and maker is God. So that means the land was not the physical land. Glory to God. Amen. Now let's come back again. What is the land? Contending for the supernatural convention, what can we call the land? Spirit, I've taught you spirit before. Now, what from the teachings, what would you call the land? You say people, okay. What is the land? Will the land be God's eternal life? Where he reigns, right? where he reigns, right? Will the land be the whole earth first? The whole people, that's what you mean, right? God's reign, right? God's rule, right? Now, very vital, don't mean it. So it will involve people. People. The land will involve people. Glory to God. The land will involve people. So Israel has a responsibility to now, because they are now in the light. I don't want to get to, I know I've mentioned it before, but I decided not to talk about it. So, the Garden of Eden. How many of you can remember? I know I've taught this like that before. And it's not wrong, it's true. How the water of the Garden is to fill the nation. Can you remember that? Right? Now, Eden, okay, let's not go there. Now, Israel will now have a nation, a responsibility. Israel was called out of darkness, right? To do what? To shine into the darkness. That's it. Hallelujah. So how would they shine into the darkness? How would they win men in their world? Not today. They will not engage in fight. War. Amen. They will engage in what? War. Now, is it God that is inducing the war? No. God is only accommodating it. Okay, follow me. What's God doing with the war? He's accommodating the war. He's not inducing it. Glory to God. So they will fight war. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They will have to fight war. Quickly, rush to Exodus. I'm showing something quickly. Chapter 12. I just want to pick out the verse for you there. Now, let's see this. The Passover. And it came to pass, at the end of the 430 years, even the seventh day, it came to pass that all the host of the Lord went up from the land of Egypt. It is night. To be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord, to be observed of the children of Israel in their generation. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. You shall no stranger eat thereof. That means the Passover. Right? Now, Passover, remember the Passover is pointing to who? Let me see who remembers. Eh? Hey, talk to goodness. Are you taking it on? Please try Sabbath. Just keep quiet. What is the Passover? What does it point to? Huh? Apostle 4. It points to Christ. You know, there's a way you answer something with good story, even when you are talking rubbish. The teacher will say you are correct. Amen. Amen. Go to God. That's why a teacher that doesn't know the answer, though. Amen. Glory to God. Okay, the Passover points to Christ. Right? Right? So, in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, right? The Passover was fulfilled, right? Uh-huh. So, the Passover pointed to God's new beginning away from Egypt. You remember that now? You remember that now? Passover. Okay. Glory to God. Now, the Passover was to signify for God's deliverance that night. How we, right? God's deliverance from the death angel that came into town, right? How God delivered them. Also was to point to how God also delivered them out of Egypt. Because that event led to their leaving Egypt. Hope you're with me. You're following me. Okay, now let's get here. Verses. So it's for the children of Israel. Now, but every man's servant that is bought for money, that is a slave. That's what it means. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Every man that is bought to see, bought for money, when he has been circumcised, he may eat thereof. So that means one who is not an Israelite can become an Israelite when he does what? When he is circumcised. Circumcision is today, when Moses writes about circumcision, when he writes about physical circumcision, the undertone was what? The circumcision of the heart, which today points to being born again. Hallelujah. Hope you are with me. Verse 25. A foreigner and an hired servant cannot eat thereof. Right? In one house shall it be eaten. It cannot be carried forth. And cannot be carried, and it cannot carry forth out of the flesh abroad out of the house. Neither shall ye break a bone thereof, or the congregation of Israel shall keep it. Right? And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee, and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let his nail be circumcised, and then let him come here and keep it. Can you see that? And it shall be as the one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. Hallelujah. One law shall be to him that is homeborn and to the stranger that sojourning among you. Thus did all the children of Israel. Thus did all the children of Israel, and the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. So did they. Hallelujah. Hope you can see that. That is a foreigner. One who is a slave can become an Israelite. How? When he is circumcised, and he cannot take off the Passover. Did you see that? Now, everybody look up. Israel, so when Israel is to fight war, now not Israel of Netanyahu, talking about Israel in scripture. Amen. I just say, so sir, what is the implication of war today? Remember I told you something last week Sunday. I said, this Sunday or on Thursday, I said, there are more Christians in Gaza than in Israel. There are more Christians in Palestine than in Israel. So, so you have to mind what you are saying sometimes. Amen. Glory to God. But let's get into what we're looking at. So Israel in scripture was to fight war. Why are they to fight wars? They are to fight wars because wars in their world, don't forget what I said, wars was a clash of gods. Hallelujah. Wars was a clash of gods. You bring your own God, I bring my God. So I'm telling you, my God is more superior than your God.
So when we go into war, you come with your terms and I come with my God. I've done my sacrifice. So when we win, right? It shows my God has prevailed over us. So wars are class of God. Look at that Exodus 12 again. Look at that Exodus 12. Even in Israel, I mean even in Egypt, look at verse 12. It says, I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite on the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both male and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. Did you see that? So what happened that night was God dealing with the gods of Egypt. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God was dealing with all the gods of Egypt. So that's what God does. Hallelujah. That's what God does. He deals with all the gods. Glory to God. And all Israel need to do was to have the blood on the sideboard. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He was going to deal with all the gods of Egypt. That's God. Hallelujah. He said he would deal with it. So that means what happened in Egypt was a clash of God. When Moses came and put his staff down, it also happened. All the magicians did their own tool and it also happened. But something that was so notable is that the staff of Moses swallowed all their staff, all their staffs. That is the supremacy of God over God. What are you hearing? That's what they have to do. So when Israel goes for war, warfare was not for anything but to do what? To take back land. Why? Because lands were being given over to what supernatural things. What are you following me? Land, people, that's land. People have been given over to supernatural beings. Glory to God. So what is God doing through Israel? He's taking it back. Hallelujah. Through Israel. So when they go for war, the armies go for war and they are defeated. Glory to God. A typical example is David and Goliath. David and Goliath. The Bible says when David got to the camp, Goliath was insulting the armies of Israel. And David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? That he dares defy the armies of the living God. He calls Israel the armies of the living God. Well, before you think he's referring to the soldiers, he's referring to the fact that who those things that Goliath was saying was against God, was against the host of heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. So say, who is this uncircumcised Philistine to defy the armies of God? You know, I'll cut off your leg. I'll give your carcasses to the bed of the air, and the carcasses of the armies of the Philistines to the bed of the air, that you will know that there is a God in Israel. That automatically will tell you that what? It was the clash of God first. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That you know that there is a God in Israel. God in Israel. Hope you are hearing me. Glory to God. So to make you see that warfare was first a clash of God. So when you defeat, when you win in the warfare, in the battleground, you go into the city and then you have what you call slaves of war. You now pack the people, right? Now Israel was not going to treat them as slaves. Israel was now going to teach to them the oracles of Jehovah, right? Talk to them about God and they will now become part of Israel. You see that? How will they be part of Israel? They will now be able to take the Passover. Did you see? Israel is now becoming an imagined nation. Did you see that? That's how God was going to emerge to fill the whole earth. But if Israel achieved this, no. Hallelujah. Israel didn't achieve this. But does that change God's plan? No! Glory to God. Hallelujah. God doesn't change God's plan. Glory to God. Look at that Hebrews again. And then we didn't see Hebrews chapter 2 quickly. We'll close. We begin to close. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hebrews quickly. Chapter 2. Again. It says, verse 8 says, that are still not in the submission under his feet, for he that he put all things submission under him, let nothing under it not put under him. But now we see not all things put under him. But man, I said, but we see Jesus.
We see Jesus. Hallelujah. We see Jesus. So that means Jesus' death and resurrection is how God puts all things under him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus' death and resurrection is a prophecy for the church. That's what you read. He said he has tested death for every man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at the sense. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many souls to glory, and to make the salvation of their, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Say both he that sanctified Jesus and those who are sanctified, yeah, we, right, are all of one. For which God is not ashamed to call them brethren. Hallelujah. Did you see that? That means the resurrection is identification. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That means today. Today is not Israel as a nation that God is using. Hope you are hearing me. Today is not Israel as a nation that God is using. Today, God is using James that have been sanctified. Hallelujah. Let me put it that way. How is what God, who is God using today? Both he that is sanctified and they that are sanctified. I mean, both he that sanctified and they that are sanctified. Hallelujah. How do God is using? To get back life. Now, come on. Is it true warfare? No. Warfare? Now listen. Is it true warfare? Now look up. It's not true physical fighting, but it's true warfare. Let me say it to you. It's true warfare, but not physical battle fight. But there's a warfare. Amen. Did this warfare just start? No. But God will accommodate in the days of Moses and beyond, right? He will accommodate the physical fighting. Because that was what was obtainable in their war. But was that so before now? Not really. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But does this involve warfare? Yes. Because it involves people. It involves life. Amen. Listen. Let me tell you this. What has not changed is the fact that supernatural beings still control men. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It says, the God of this world has blinded the eyes of men. We're going to look at something too next week. Amen. Something next week. Get out Thursday or Sunday. So look at it. How does Satan even get at believers? Amen. Glory to God. Yeah, we get to see that. And what we will do, because it is warfare. Someone says, the believer cannot be possessed with demons. Yes, believers can be possessed with demons. Can't be. But believers can be influenced by demonic activities. Hope you are hearing me. Yeah, you can be influenced. It's in the scripture. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Yeah. You say, Pastor, yes. You can. Or you don't agree. Let me ask the angels at the back. Or you don't agree. Men of God. You don't agree. Amen. Imagination. Bible talks about imagination. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Too many times we say we cannot be possessed. Yeah, we can be possessed by demons. Not possible. I'm born of God. The Holy Ghost has possessed me. Amen. Amen. But Satan can influence thoughts. The believer can be influenced. And that is also part of the fight. Amen. Let's get back. Go to God. So there's a fight. What has not changed is that Satan still has dominion over people. Amen. Over people in the world. Stronghold. But you know what? What hasn't changed too is that God is still filling the whole earth. It hasn't changed too. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Therefore, the men God calls, the men God uses, are men of warfare.
God is a work. Amen. Now, I told you that the most at which you fight didn't change. But God only accommodated something within their walls. Right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But it has not changed. So how would we get it on the man who God used? Who is God using? He's using me. Hallelujah. We're going to see more next week. Who is God using? He's using me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at Genesis chapter 32. Woo! Glory. Verse 24. Just like Jesus too. Look at Jacob. Genesis 32, 24. And Jacob was left alone. So that means verse 23, he took his people away. He needed to have time to pray. Hallelujah. Just like Jesus had to go to a lonely place to pray. Jacob sent his people away. He said he was left alone, and there he rescued a man with him until the breaking of the day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You watch the word rescue. Some people think Joseph was, Jacob was fighting, was doing smackdown. You know, Jacob was doing smackdown. No, he was not smackdown. Hallelujah. He said he was restless. And in the restless, they blessed him. So that means he shows you. Now remember what did he speak to Jacob? He said to Jacob the same thing he said to his father, Isaac, to his grandfather, Abraham, the land. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The descendants, the land. That is the promise of the land. So the same thing, we're going to see Abraham. Abraham was a man of prayer. Glory to God. So God wants to do something to Lord Abraham was praying. He went to Abraham because God knows Abraham is a man of prayer. And Abraham began to intercede immediately. Hallelujah. Can you see? So if you look at scripture, it shows you, as it were, that God cannot do anything except because it's meant to pray first. You find it in Abraham. Amen. He wants to go to Sodom. You know, he would have just gone. He doesn't need to speak to Abraham. But he got to Abraham there. Hallelujah. Because someone needs to intercede. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. He deals with, now you can listen, he deals with man's will. God doesn't infringe on man's will. It's the devil that does it. God doesn't, God gives you a choice. He's not planned, he's not modus operandi. He gives you a choice. Hope you are with me. So, when we pray, is that we make an enabling environment for God. To save men, for God to carry out His will in the earth, when we pray. Hallelujah. What do you mean? When we pray. It gives God an enabling ground to carry. When we pray, it gives God an enabling ground to carry His will in the earth. When we pray, we dispel darkness. So the Bible says that Jacob rescued. Look at Hosea. Hosea chapter 12. Hosea 12, quickly. Hosea. Glory to God. So, you know, forgive is an enabling ground for God. Sir, what if, what of, leave your what of, leave your what if. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It does nothing to do with what God is doing in the earth today. What of, what if? God causes men to pray. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, was I writing about Jacob? verses 4. Verses 3. It says, he took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept. Now that is verse 4. That is Genesis 2. He said he had power with he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel. There he spoke with us. This is that. So what was he doing in that wrestling? Was making supplication. So why did Moses put the word wrestle there? He shows you it involves bodily movement. Amen. You're not present and say, oh God, I just give you thanks for this. You know, I heard that lady Christianity say, we don't pray like that. We just give thanks to the Lord and just pray for that. So are you okay? So we don't check ourselves. Say, it's only in Africa that I see people pray like this. Even you and your imagination, you are father. You're not. Amen. Because you don't have a prayer life. A prayer life is for meeting for people. Someone said, you know, over here in the UK, life, everything is good. You know, we're praying, all those kind of... No! That's why you need to pray the more. Amen. For people to be saved. Who come to the knowledge of the truth. Hallelujah. So, Jacob's rescue was prayer. Was prayer for the nation. So when I pray, I'm dispelling darkness. When I pray, I'm displacing supernatural beings. Hallelujah. 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 When I pray, supernatural beings are expelled from places and from locations. When I pray. That means I will take prayer seriously. Look at Jesus. I told you the man God uses. He causes them to pray. He causes them to pray. And when they pray, they don't pray one word. You hear that Jacob, Moses went to the mountain for 40 days. What do you think he was doing in the mountain for 40 days? He was counting bread. No! What did he was doing? See, he was watching Avatar. No! What was he doing? He was giving to prayer. 40 days with the Lord. Amen. Jesus also was found praying. He would just go to a lonely place to pray. To pray. Because the men God gave him, he causes them to pray. When Jesus was to leave, when he was to die, what? He called his disciples. So he said, an urgent to pray. And they were sleeping. In the resurrection when he came back, I saw them. Right? You know, the moment he was taken out of their sight physically, what was the first thing that they began to do? They began to pray at once. They began to pray. They became men of prayer. Because that's how God's name will be done in the end. Hallelujah. You'll be hearing that so much is good word of God has prevailed. Yes, the preacher, but something better than preaching. Hallelujah. Remember, I told you something last week. I think that was on Thursday. I said it to you. I said, prayer creates an enabling ground. Prayer is warfare. And you know, we'll go with the gospel. Is what? I will take the spoils of the land. Right? Where you now teach them the word. Where you now tell them the oracles of God and their heart is now circumcised. But something had happened in the battlefield. Hallelujah. So when you can't pray, you can't have access to the spoils. To the men. Jesus will say in Matthew chapter 12, verse 39, say, which of you want to go into a strong man's house? Do not first bind the strong man. So prayer is that warfare. Hallelujah. Prayer is us exercising dominion, authority over the birds of the air, over the fishes in the water, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the surface of the air. He's not killing meat. He's not killing power on Christmas Day. No, that's not the dominion. The dominion is power over supernatural beings. Amen. When we pray like that, that was when Jesus prayed. We'll see that by Thursday or by Sunday next week, Jesus prayed, and his sweat was as thick as blood. That means he took prayer position. He prayed. Hallelujah. So when we pray, we deal with supernatural things, right? Right? We deal with spiritual things, right? Right? Aha. When we pray, we dispel darkness, right? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Much more we'll see, even in our own self, for us too, we'll see by next week, the importance of why we should pray for us too. Amen. Amen. Because several times Satan has got things into the media. And your disciples are hearing it. You don't know, your disciples are hearing it. They are watching it. They are seeing it. Your members are seeing it. So what are you doing? What are you doing? The preaching of the word is born out in the place of prayer. You know what we understand this? We do less of talking and more prayer. Amen. We will pray more, like Jesus prayed more than he teach. But when he talk, we study him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All of a sudden, you discover that something is happening, even for your family. Family. Brother, sister. Father, mother. Hallelujah. You need to be a person of prayer to stand in the gap. Say, oh Lord, we're going to look at, because this is warfare. This is warfare. This is warfare. Hallelujah. This is warfare. And as we get to GTLR, it is warfare. We are coming ready to pray. Hallelujah. For our health, for our loved ones. We are taking our place, our prayer ministry place. Amen. You know, I'm thinking about it. Amen. I'm thinking about it. We will take our place in the ministry of Jesus. We will take our place. You know, it's a year of ministry gift in ministry. Amen. Glory to God. So we'll take our place. We'll take our place. Hallelujah. Every believer has a prayer ministry. Every believer. Because the prayer ministry of the believer is what best every other thing will do. Hallelujah. It's what best every other thing will do. When you don't stand in the gap. Don't say I'm too small. No! You stand in the gap. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'll be the one to stand in the gap for my family. I'll be the one to stand in the gap for my church. I'll be the one to stand in the gap for my nation, for my city. I'll be the one. What about you? What about you? What about you? 2026. From today, is not the time for us to get weak in prayer. No. It's time to stand strong. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When God wants to do a thing, it will cause men to pray. When God wants to do anything in the earth, it will cause men to pray. Why? Because there are still negative supernatural beings in the earth, and is influencing the thought process of man. And God will not hypnotize man like Satan will. So what will God do? God will make us pray. So that events will turn up, and then we will get to them with the gospel. Their hearts will become receptive to the word. Right? Right? Hallelujah. And that is why this is war. Because we see, you know, when you hear news, I said it also on Thursday, when you hear news of kidnap, banditry, this one, stealing, it's not for you to hear the news and be scared. No, when you hear the news and when you hear such things, you know that there is war. And what is the war? Prayer. What's the war? Prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's more things to be done. Stop the politics around. Hallelujah. It's time to pray. The answer is not in diplomacy. The answer is in prayer. Glory to God. I said to you, if you don't listen to songs of prayer, I will pray. But if you don't pray, you will not pray. Right? There are songs that should spur you to pray. Songs that should remind you, please build again in you the consciousness of a prayer life. But if you don't pray after those songs, you have not to pray. Those songs cannot be substituted for prayer. Hope you are with me. Those songs cannot be substituted for prayer. I close like this. There was a young man that years ago, I was there in the mom's worship. And as the first son of the mom, they asked him to talk, to give a speech. And he stood up. And what he was saying was, his heart broke with his that he's shattered, blah, blah, blah. His heart is down, is broken. That his mom used to be the one that prayed for them. That he as a person does not know how to pray. And his mom was a prayer warrior. Now the mom is gone. Now who is going to pray for them? That's what he was asking. Now who? That was the only confidence he had that the mom is praying somewhere. I know that day I heard it. I told myself, never. Never. My mom prayed. If you don't know, my mom, she prayed. For me, I made up my mind. I want to be a man of prayer. What kind of talk is that? I will be a man of prayer. Why are you depending on people to pray? Is there anything in your mouth? Is there anything wrong with your mouth? Do you have problem with your mouth? So why can't you pray? I don't say it. If Babalola can pray, if Adeboni can pray, who am I not to pray? I will pray. You put it on auto repeat for 30 minutes, so far as I see. Amen. That is not prayer. Amen? Amen? That's not prayer. Prayer is after I'm done with that song, I go through a power. That's prayer. I go through it. That's prayer. Amen. Amen. I go on the street. 3 days. Take me off work. Just stay to pray. Stay to pray. There's a whole lot to pray for. I will break it down into three. So we'll continue on Sunday. But I will pray. Hallelujah. Will you pray? Will you pray? Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray.